Yes, sir, we promised you a great man.
Look at that hair.
Andre!
The China!
WrestleMania! WrestleMania!
It's running wild!
My God, what a...
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here, another edition of Cheap Heat. The world's something or other, you know, 1:30, we're trash, sports and recreation podcast. I am your faithful host, Peter Rosenberg, and I'm joined live from the home of the 2018 Royal Rumble, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the stat guy, Uptown Malcolm. A.K.A. Big Daddy G, Stat Guy Greg.
Yeah. Can I tell you how excited I am for the Rumble, though?
Oh, for it to be in your home, in your new hometown?
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait.
How close do you live from First Union, or that's what it is, right?
Yeah, like the sports complex is not that far from where we live, though. Like it's like a 20-minute drive.
So you're just excited to get to have one weekend for wrestling that will not involve traveling at this point.
Well, we had a pay-per-view here recently too. What was it? I think it was Battleground.
Yes, of course, Battleground. Yep.
So yeah, I like that area over there. I got to scope it out, and I think I can't wait for the Royal Rumble to go down. I've never been to a Rumble, so I'm excited for it.
Interesting too, but we get ahead of ourselves. We're jumping past one major pay-per-view because Survivor Series is coming up in November in Houston, I believe. And we now know as of yesterday, Wednesday, that will include an NXT takeover titled War Games. SGG, what do you know about this War Games that they are bringing back for NXT takeover Survivor Series weekend?
Well, it looks like we're going to have... first of all, War Games is a favorite of a lot of old school WCW wrestling fans. I know Goldstein loved War Games and missed it. Triple H was a big fan of War Games.
Did you just do Goldstein and Triple H back to back?
Yes.
That was sort of like the company that I had in the Bobby Heenan tribute tweets. yes. Everyone loved War Games. I mean, I'll tell you the truth. Honestly, I believe War Games is a little bit overrated in terms of what the actual format is, but from a nostalgia standpoint and from how cool it looks with the multiple rings, I get excited for it as well. But I think in actuality versus theory, it's not as great as, first of all, in arena, it always looked terrible, didn't it? Like, it looked amazing. The shot looked amazing. But I always thought about, like, what if you're sitting in one of the rings that's not being near one of the rings that's not being utilized and you're on the floor? You can't see anything.
That's part of the problem, too, is, like, you know, the rules are a little shaky. And then sometimes the cage looked too small. But all of that we can probably attribute to old school WCW, right? But they're bringing it back for NXT. And you got the Undisputed Era, which I hate that name, but I love Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly. So they're going to be facing Sanity and Roderick Strong, and with the Authors of Pain is the third team. So it looks like a three-way War Games match, three teams. They're going to have the two rings. They're going to have the cage for NXT TakeOver War Games, and I think it's a good tie-in to Survivor Series.
I think it's a cool way to try it. Some people are going to be disappointed that when they brought back something as iconic as War Games, they brought it to NXT and not to Raw or SmackDown. And I get that. But guys, you never can forget, things that are straight-up WCW inventions never get the same love.
No,
even if isn't War Games a Dusty Rhodes vehicle?
It is, and I think that's why it's on NXT though, because like Dusty Rhodes was an NXT GM for a long time. He had a lot of, he had a heavy hand in a lot of those NXT guys that we know and love today. You know, Kevin Owens to the Enzo. Like, he taught the promo classes down there. NXT has the Dusty Rhodes Memorial Classic. And we got to remember, too, NXT TakeOver The End was last year. And as we know, that wasn't the end of NXT or the end of those takeovers, but that was supposed to be the end of NXT being like little brother to Raw and SmackDown. So NXT is supposed to be theoretically a bigger deal. And so War Games being with NXT is not necessarily a demotion or like pooping on a WCW vehicle, but it's just like NXT is supposed to be bigger. It's supposed to be more important. They got new championships and everything. So I think this might be more of that than.
And we might as well throw it in when you're talking about that Survivor Series weekend. John Cena no longer being advertised for Survivor Series. Brock Lesnar now is being advertised for Survivor Series. So don't know what that means in terms of what was planned. But I'll tell you what, as we head into, you know, talking about what's going on right now, and of course we'll spend a lot of time on Hell in a Cell, which is going down this Sunday in Detroit. I'm doing I'll be doing the kickoff show and talking smack, so you guys will get your nice, you know, your wonderful dose of Peter Rosenberg.
Well, they missed paper. You on the last one.
I know. Listen, I was home nursing that injury. I'm back. I'm doing the next two pay-per-views, so I'll be at this one. Then 2 weeks later, Minnesota for TLC. Also should be noted, on Tuesday, Jeff Hardy had surgery to repair a torn rotator cuff. Not known what the timetable will be, but rotator cuff's fairly serious. So I wouldn't be surprised to continue to see Matt Hardy doing other things until Jeff is able to get back. But, you know, in talking about Survivor Series and in talking about where what will be like the theme of what is the fourth major pay-per-view, and it is definitely dead last at this point in terms of the four big four. There's no doubt about it. It's number four.
It was one of my favorites, but they, I feel like they don't stick with what brought them to the dance enough. Like, they don't have enough of these traditional matches that mean a lot, that are supposed to be like guys you never see teaming together. They did it with the Raw and SmackDown. That was a really good Survivor Series match they had. I forget what year that was. It might have been 2015.
I agree. But I think I always think the same too. I think Survivor Series, you should have one main event, maybe one other match, and then, you know, two, three, four Survivor Series matches, maybe two or three, because it takes a lot of people. But I was thinking, watching everything that's been going down with The Miz and the Miztourage, and now The Bar, as they're being called, and Roman Reigns, makes you realize that we are entering a couple of months that'll be interesting, because it will not be about Roman Reigns as the main player solo on Raw. And right. And how long, like, wouldn't you agree, we are now, from this point forward, I'm guessing we go through Survivor Series with the Shield. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree. It seems to be where they're going, and I'm excited about that. I'm not going to lie. I'm excited about that. One thing that does kind of take away from it for me is, according to the Twitter sphere and the internets, The Miz is quote-unquote getting Roman Reigns over finally. And I sort of disagree with that take. I don't think that The Miz is getting Roman Reigns over. I don't think it's a case of Roman Reigns not being over. Roman Reigns is finally getting cheered due to being with The Miz, and I don't know what that says, but to say that he wasn't over before is a bit of a stretch.
But it's playing on semantics, though, because I agree with you and disagree with you. Yes, he's always been over because he's always been the guy who elicits a reaction, and he's been the
most over in the company for like 2 years.
Yeah, I guess it just depends on what your definition of over is, and seeing as none of us and no one in the Twitter sphere, whatever you call it, are probably the best people to judge what over actually means. But he does have him getting cheered. But listen, it was a combination. He had a match with Cena. He got the Cena dust, and now he gets to work with The Miz, who, I'll be honest, I'm at a point now where I just think The Miz is awesome. No pun intended.
Yeah.
I really do. This week, the facials that he has when he's sitting in the ring watching down the ramp. Yeah, big pause. And he's watching down the ramp, and when Roman turns his attention to The Miz, and you see Miz's eyes like, goo? Like, he does this... He does this classic heel stuff that is so good. And so, Greg, while I understand what you're saying in terms of he has been over, there's no denying the way that they'd been hoping for a long time for Roman Reigns to be received, he's being received that way much more now than just 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, that is true. And also, though, I don't think – here's the thing, though. Fans are going to give The Miz credit and everything like that, but I do think The Miz deserves some credit, but I don't think this saga is over. I think as soon as Roman Reigns gets close to the Universal Championship or even the WWE World Championship or whatever the main championship is on the brand that he is on at the time, they're going to turn on him again.
I think you're right. I don't think that's over either. I think it's a matter of who he's with. However, I mean, let's be real, Greg. This is something that's interesting. When The Miz was working with John Cena at WrestleMania, the crowd seemed squarely, at least the adult crowd, squarely aligned with The Miz.
Yep.
I mean, it was awkward. On the day that Cena proposed to Nikki Bella, they got booed nonstop.
Yeah.
And The Miz was being a ridiculous heel with Maurice leading up to WrestleMania, and yet at WrestleMania, they got cheered. And yet here we are right now, and Roman Reigns is actually getting cheered against The Miz. This is 2 weeks in a row that I'm hearing him getting the loudest reaction. You know, maybe it's the part of the country they're in. I don't know. But they're getting the loudest reaction, for positive reaction for Roman that I can remember. So it is interesting.
And here's the other part too, because it's Roman Reigns always gets cheered during his matches, right? Like always.
Well, there's always oohing and aahing too. Yeah.
Yeah, and what it is though is that Miz is getting him cheered during the entrance and like, you know, at the end on the pinfall, which is the opportunities people usually take to rain down boos on Roman Reigns, right? During the entrance and the celebration. So that's the crazy part, is that he streamlined all of that. All that goodwill that Roman Reigns seemed to have when he's performing is now it's coming together.
Yeah, it's cool to see. I just like when things go the right way. You know, I like when people play along. I do. I like when everyone is on board and making this what it's supposed to be. It makes for a more fun show. Raw this week, I'm trying to think of like what I'm super interested in on Raw. I'm into the Shield. I will be excited to see them together, and I'm enjoying the Miz and Roman's work, like on a segment by segment basis. That said, you know exactly where it's going. So you don't sit around, I think, like enthralled, even if you enjoy it.
Right.
I don't find it to be an enthralling story, only because I know exactly where this ends up. Like, literally, it ends up with the Shield beating up whoever they have to face. Now, I'm
but
guessing.
How long?
Hold
though?
On. Well, my guess is if you just united the Miz, and the Bar to some extent. That's a Survivor Series team. Done.
Okay.
And I then imagine the other Survivor Series team is The Shield, Matt Hardy, and Jason Jordan. Thoughts? Go.
I didn't see Matt Hardy and Jason Jordan until you just said that. Now that you say that, though, I do think that's something that could work. But I wouldn't mind the Shield going back to their roots and just being the three of them against whoever. It doesn't matter if there's three on the other side or not. So even if it is the Shield,
it could be a 3-on-5.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, me too. It'll be interesting to see what they do there. And also, again, I am interested to see how many Survivor Series matches we actually, how many traditional Survivor Series matches we get at Survivor Series. I enjoy the Mickie James thing that's going on a bit, even though it frustrates me that, like, it just seems like, here's the thing. We went through the whole women's revolution. And, like, how many women actually truly get cheered on TV? It bugs me. Like, Alexa's getting a pop, right?
Right.
Nia didn't get a pop this week. Mickie James didn't get a pop this week. Did Sasha and Bayley get a pop?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So together, Sasha and Bayley got a pop.
But they always do, though. And, like, that's the thing.
Sometimes Bayley's been getting booed. And sometimes Sasha's pop, if she doesn't have a really meaningful moment, sometimes I'm, like, disappointed by Sasha's pop, too, at least when her music hits and she comes out.
Are you disappointed by it, or is it not at the Sasha Banks level that we've been used to over the years? So, like, is it not a mega pop, or is it just, like, a light pop?
Yeah, well, but that's the thing. It's, like, it doesn't seem like really intense excitement, but maybe that's because people haven't deemed – I don't think the story with Alexa Bliss was done right, so maybe that just weakened it. And on SmackDown, it feels like Charlotte and Becky got a nice pop this week. And people seem to be getting into Charlotte. I think babyface Charlotte is working better than I expected.
It's definitely working better than the last time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and the more she does things as a babyface that are related to her dad, the better. That's the way to get to get people to cheer. Because naturally she's so heel-like with how big and dominant she is. But I don't know. That's just a point that I feel in general. I'm generally disappointed by, like, we all, in theory, people love the women's revolution. But in practice, week to week, do people still treat them like popcorn matches sometimes? And I think they do. I'm not accusing people of being sexist. Maybe it's just a matter of, like, some of the stories aren't interesting enough. You know, you have Emma sort of pop up out of nowhere, yeah. And without much of a story. I'm starting to get used to seeing her in an important position. I still think the character just needs more to it. But I'll be honest, most of my attention is clearly being focused on SmackDown right now, because I am so excited to see what Hell in a Cell looks like for Shane and KO and for the Usos and the New Day.
Yeah, those are definitely the two most anticipated matches. But before we jump off of Raw really quickly, I want to just go back. Something that you didn't mention was this Bray Wyatt and Finn Balor story that seems to be continuing.
It sure does.
And Sister Abigail.
Talk to us.
She's alive, apparently, and I guess, I don't know, that promo was weird, right? And let's just put that out there. It was very weird, the Bray Wyatt promo.
Which is saying something for a Bray Wyatt promo, which are literally aimed at being weird every single time.
Well, yeah, no, this one was especially weird because he mentioned Sister Abigail was alive, which was intriguing, and then, like, he seemed to, what's the way to say this? He, like, kind of transformed into her. Now, at first, I didn't catch that's what was happening. I thought it was just, like, a creepy little Halloween type of thing that was going on, mm-hmm. Which would be perfect for Bray Wyatt. I mean, he's not doing anything else, so. But apparently, according to Pro Wrestling Sheet, he's going to transform into Sister Abigail, and, like, that's going to be his sort of alter ego in the way that Finn Balor has the demon mask. And I don't know what that's going to look like.
But he will be Sister Abigail?
He will be Sister Abigail. And, and eventually challenge Demon Balor as Sister Abigail.
Whoa. There's a lot of layers to this. So Bray Wyatt's going to be a woman.
Yes.
He's going to be channeling a woman.
Yes. That's a better way to put it. Because I don't know. I mean,
I'd like to say that Bray Wyatt would be the single ugliest woman who's ever lived. So are people now beyond thinking there's a chance that it could be someone else?
That Sister Abigail could be someone else? Yeah.
Yes, that Sister Abigail. People, there's no chance at this point that it just turns out to be another woman who appears.
Well, yes. Because, I mean, even when he gave the promo, I guess people tweeted his sister asking if she was going to show up and be Sister Abigail. His, like, actual real-life sister. She denied it. And then one of the comments was basically like, yeah, it's pretty obvious that it's going to be Bray. I think they kind of telegraphed it. And then, you know, the sheet reported that it was going to be Bray independently of this random Twitter comment. And now when you look back at the promo, it kind of makes sense why he was sort of transforming and flashing and, like, had a little veil over his face or whatever that was. It's like, he's going to be Sister Abigail. But my question to you is, does this mean anything if Sister Abigail performs with the same level of intensity as Bray Wyatt?
Listen, if it's well done and interesting, then it's impactful and intense. But, like, if it's silly and it's just so hard to say how they do it. And I generally have so much, like, concern for how Bray's character gets treated that I have mixed feelings and concern. And then on top of that, you know, I sort of wane on this story. I just feel like it kind of already played out for me. I don't know. I feel like... I want to be wrong and have Bray and Finn turn into something really meaningful. But so far, while it has moments, I don't feel that it's super meaningful. And I just want to see something meaningful. Is there anything else that you really feel draws our importance from Raw?
No.
I think it's time for Hell in a Cell talk, ladies and gentlemen, especially today. Today. The 20th anniversary, October 5th, 1997, the first ever Hell in a Cell match between The Undertaker and Greg's nemesis, the Heartbreak Kid,
yes,
Shawn Michaels. So it's only appropriate we move on to Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. You can't say it like that, though. You can't say Hell in a Cell like that when you talk about the 20th anniversary and how much it means. You got to go full, like, throaty Vince McMahon, like,
Hell in a Cell.
There we go.
Oh, was that better?
That's the only way to do it. That's the only way to do it. Especially when you're talking about the anniversary. I guess when we're talking about the pay-per-view, we can tone it down a little bit, but like.
Or let me do it. Let me channel. If Shane McMahon was Vince McMahon, he would do this. Hell in the Cell. That drove me crazy when he said Hell in the Cell instead of a cell.
I didn't notice.
You didn't? The first time when he's like, KO, there's only one place we can have this, Kevin Owens, and it'll be hell in the cell. And I was like, no, hell in a cell. Hell in a cell. Not the cell. Now, SGG, you know, it is the new era. And for the record, shout out to Dipperstein told me, I don't know if I mentioned this last week at No Mercy, that someone had a new era sign. But I never got to see it because it never made it to camera. So if you're listening, post us the new era sign. I'd like to see
I didn't see this either.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that there's a tremendous sign this weekend in Detroit. Like, where are our Detroit Peckerheads at? Let's get a good sign this Sunday. But let's look through. You know, it's the new era, so we don't have to go over everything on this card should it not necessarily interest us. So, right. Greg, but before we get to we know the tag match, and we know we care about KO and Shane. So what else on the card are you interested in?
I'm a little bit interested in the Shinsuke and Jinder match because I want to know if it's Shinsuke's time to get the WWE World Championship.
You know, the WWE Championship on the line, and I will tell you, I started when this thing started. It's been a bumpy story. The Jinder Shinsuke story. It's been bumpy.
Yeah.
And it's yeah. flawed. There's no doubt it's flawed. However, we're at a point now where I do find myself more interested in it than I thought I would be previously. Partially because they went the weird sort of direction they went with Jinder and his attacking Shinsuke because of how he talks and his faces that he makes. It has sort of, I don't know, it sort of made me think, like, what are they going to do here? And also, Jinder's hovering in a weird space where, like, see, this is why I think a lot of us didn't kind of thought that it should have been John Cena and Nakamura, John Cena and Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam. Because I feel like if it had been John Cena and Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam, and Jinder had found a way to beat John Cena, it would have done something to truly elevate Jinder and keep the momentum going. But both Shinsuke and Jinder were in need of getting to the next level. So I don't think they benefited each other at SummerSlam. And I think that has sort of set the tone for where we are right now. What are your thoughts on that, SGG?
I think that's a fair point that that one of them needed someone else, that they both needed someone
elevation.
Else.
Elevation. Dare I say elevation.
Yeah, they couldn't do it for each other. I think that's a fair point. And I definitely, especially when you consider the fact that John Cena was also sort of wasted at SummerSlam, it seemed like the three of them didn't really go anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like if you'd flipped things around a little bit and had Jinder Mahal and John Cena and let Shinsuke just whoop Baron Corbin, I wouldn't have been mad at that.
Yeah,
like
same.
Shinsuke could have kept building. And anyways, but here's where we are. We're at Jinder Mahal, the WWE champion with the Singh brothers, against Shinsuke Nakamura in a singles match for the WWE Championship. I am torn. It doesn't feel like a big enough moment to have Shinsuke win the title. This is, at best, the second most interesting match. I think for a lot of true wrestling fans, it's the third or
yeah,
fourth.
No, it's definitely the third most interesting match. And you know what? When you throw Charlotte Natty in the mix, it probably does slide down to fourth. Out of that, there's no.
And I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. From a wrestling standpoint, I'm excited to see Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler. I want to see what those guys do in the ring together. You realize how long? Listen, well, you know what? I'll save it. We'll get to Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler in a second. But all that being said, hard for me to see Shinsuke winning on this night. I'll pick Jinder Mahal.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
It's my brain and my heart are torn. My mind is saying Jinder Mahal, but you know, who knows? I feel like if they're gonna make these pay per views mean something, the ones that are not the big four, they need to do certain things, and maybe one of those things is to start the Nakamura era. So I'm going Shinsuke Nakamura.
Wow, that would be interesting. I don't know. To me, it just doesn't feel like it. I don't know. So we just mentioned Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler for a second. Let's stay there. I think Dolph. I had questions about how he got there, but Dolph Ziggler is getting legitimate heat. People hate Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, but is it like go away heat, or is like are people annoyed, or is it like true heel heat?
I think it's heel heat. I think that gets talked about too much. You know, I don't think he has the, as it's known these days, the stat guy Greg turn off the podcast heat. I think it's legit, man. It's not silence. It's booze. It's booze. Like, part of it is because the way he did it was by being just ultimately annoying. you know. But I don't think it didn't make me not ever want to see him again. At first it did. Remember the first time I was like, it's so dumb. His impressions are terrible. And then I realized, oh, the impressions are supposed to be terrible. This isn't supposed to be great. It's supposed to just be really irritating. And I think it succeeded. I think the biggest challenge for Dolph Ziggler is, who hasn't been a heel in a very long time, or real. He hasn't had heat in a very long time. Right. It's going to be working like that. He is. Dolph's way of wrestling is so conducive to being lovable. You know, he's so athletic. He's so talented. He bumps so big. All of those things really work. And he's not a huge guy. So all of those things work really well when you're a good guy. And in this case, he's up against the bigger, stronger, more ground and pound Bobby Roode. So I'm curious to see, and this is, I know, uber nerdy, but I'm just curious to see how Dolph physically works to play into this annoying bad guy, just D-nozzle version of Dolph Ziggler that we have right now.
Well, I mean, they both can wrestle. Like, they're both super talented. So I think they have high hopes set for them in that regard. But I just hope it's not a situation of, like, Dolph Ziggler and Shinsuke, where, you know, it was built up and the anticipation was there and they both had the skill, and then it was like, kind of match.
I'll tell you what I would like. That's a good point. And remember, it's funny because Dolph was the bad guy in that match as well, but they didn't really build it up very much. It kind of came out of nowhere. The character has been developed a lot more since then. You would agree, right?
Yeah, I would agree, but I don't know if that's going to propel it to the, you know, if that was going to do what it needs to be done to.
I think it'll garner more interest, but you're right. Here he is, same role, first pay-per-view for Bobby Roode. So he's sitting in the exact same role, getting over an NXT star. But here's why it excites me. Man, go back 5 years, 6 years, when we all, if you paid attention, loved Bobby Roode at TNA and thought, well, he's one of the guys who should be in WWE, but I never thought it would happen. We're getting to see Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler have a match at a pay-per-view. That's pretty awesome.
It is. Hopefully it delivers, though, because and awesome, like, what actually happens, sometimes it's two different things.
Absolutely. But I also try to at least appreciate, regardless, it happening. Because I got to tell you guys, that's one of the things about literally, it's one of my favorite, I said it many times, one of my favorite things about WWE is that generally the things you want to happen eventually happen. That's not true in most of the things we root for. You know what I'm saying? You're never getting the Joel Santana, Lil Wayne, I Can't Feel My Face album, or whatever that was supposed to be. Those moments don't happen in other things, but in WWE, pretty much, like, one day, we'll see CM Punk again. It always happens. And I do love that.
That's fair.
I love that about WWE, and I love it about Vince McMahon and the way he runs this business, is that ultimately, if there's an interest, and a lot of people think it's awesome, it'll probably happen. And frankly, whether you think Dolph Ziggler's a disappointment or you think he's amazing, he's one of the best in-ring athletes of this generation, and without a doubt. That's not even a conversation. And so I'm excited to see Bobby Roode and him have a match. Hopefully it works. I think we'll both agree Bobby – well, I'd like to see – I'm going to pick Bobby Roode, but my ideal would be, don't just make Dolph someone who's getting fed to people. Have him DQ and do something really horrible to Bobby Roode.
Yeah. So it's very hard to disagree with anything you just said.
Thank you, because I'm prophetic. I'm the oracle. I'm the all-knowing.
It is very hard to disagree with any of that. I am going to also pick Bobby Roode. And I will add this to the conversation. Apparently, 4 years ago yesterday, this podcast debuted.
No.
It was unnamed. It was David Shoemaker and Peter Rosenberg, according to a tweet that resurfaced.
Wait, 4 years ago today?
Not yesterday. So October, there's a tweet from October 4th, 2013, Shoemaker sent out, and it said...
I saw the tweet. I didn't realize when I saw it that it was the anniversary of it. I didn't. I'm stupid.
It said, welcome to a bold new era of wrestling podcastery, the unnamed Masked Man and Rosenberg radio show. Wow. That was 4 years ago today. So I know this is the new era, but, you know, in that old era of cheap heat, I did do some stats. And thanks to the people at ESPN Stats and Info, I got an interesting stat on this match. Five of the past six NXT champions won their first pay-per-view match on the main roster. The only one to take the L was Sami Zayn, but he debuted in the Royal Rumble, so you can't really hold that one against him. And with that stat on my mind, I'm going to say Bobby Roode.
Fair and reasonable. I'll do the same, but like I said, I would love to have Dolph do something crazy. And wow, 4 years since the first cheap heat. What a moment.
Which happy anniversary too, by the way. This is Mage.
Thank you. Right back to you and to David Shoemaker. This is a moment. This should be celebrated in some way. I'll think of a celebration. Don't worry, guys. Something big. Something really big is going to happen. We'll celebrate first by talking about how much we don't care about Randy Orton versus Rusev.
Right.
Listen, guys. It's time. Rusev needs a pay-per-view win, guys. It has to happen. If you want him to be around and be useful at all, he has to occasionally win a meaningful match. Does he not?
Yeah, I agree. I agree, and that's why Rusev is my pick. But let's be honest here, though. I'm picking him because of the same reason that you said he needs this. Otherwise, we're not going to care. He's not a Bulgarian brute anymore if he doesn't get a win every once in a while. And I'm picking him because of that reason alone. Now, does that necessarily mean that I really think he's going to win? No, but he needs this, though.
What's the likelihood that one of these matches this week will be interrupted by music, and when you look down the ramp, you see, yes, it's none other than Big Daddy G?
Oh my God. Listen.
Do you think are you big enough yet to wear the suspenders over the nipples?
not yet. Not yet. Give me some time.
You know what's amazing? It is amazing. So me and Dipperstein were talking yesterday, and we were talking about the podcast. I made some joke about you, and Dip came up with Big Daddy G. Because I'd always been I made a joke where I sent the podcast, the G World Order, a picture of, I said, look at the new physically large Greg, yeah. And I sent a picture of Viscera. But he made me, I should have been thinking Big Daddy V. Do you know where Big Daddy V, Nelson Frazier, do you know where he passed away?
No, I do not.
Harlem, New York.
No. There's no way.
Yep. Born February 14, 1971, Goldsboro, North Carolina. Nelson Frazier died, sadly, at age 43, unfortunately. February 18, 2014, Harlem, New York. Yep.
I did not know that.
That's right. Big Daddy G. You got to be careful, SGG.
Was he on 110th Street?
We don't know. We really don't know. But I found this very interesting. I'm going to buy you suspenders for your birthday next year.
Yo, Christmas is coming up. I'm in the Jew World Order now. I'll take that Hanukkah gift, whatever. Like, just let me know.
You know, with Christmas coming up, it begs the question, Greg. With you becoming more and more physically large, can you handle another Christmas season?
What do you mean, can I handle another Christmas season? Listen, I'm ready for all of that. You just make sure you have your Thanksgiving bars, and I'll be ready.
I can't wait till you get engaged and you're
fiance is like, listen, so you're gonna have to lose 60 pounds. You're making your job harder and harder every day, SGG. Are you getting delicious chicken cheesesteaks every day? Are you at Ishka Bibbles every day?
Nah, not often enough.
Have you gotten the chicken cheesesteak at Ishka Bibbles?
I have not. I need to, though. Everybody tells me they're the best.
You got to go to Ishka Bibbles, get the chicken cheesesteak, and ask for baby food. They dice it up nice and thin. That's how they do it. That's when you say baby food. Enough. Rest in peace to Big Daddy V. Let's move on. AJ Styles and Baron Corbin. We're not going to spend much time there.
Styles.
Come on. That would be shocking. Shocking. I'll go AJ Styles. Natty and Charlotte. People are starting to lean towards. They think this is a Charlotte title win now.
Yeah, I agree. I read a
just
stat
because
yesterday.
It creates more stories.
Well, yeah, and also that Charlotte has a ridiculous win loss record against Natalya in 1-on-1 matches. She's 8-2 against Natty in 1-on-1 matches.
Wow, really? I'll tell you what, I am excited for that match. I just want to see what they do, because like this is a different version of them. Like, this is getting to see them go at a point in their career when they're able to do a lot more. Natty's in a better place, and obviously Charlotte is Charlotte now. So I'm excited to see how much time they get and what they can do.
Now, here's a question that's always looming over a SmackDown women's title defense.
Okay.
Carmella. Does she cash in at Hell in the Cell?
Well, again, it's that same sort of situation. You know, so you're saying Charlotte, they have a grueling match. Charlotte wins the title, takes everything out of her in some way, and finally Carmella cashes in, steals it from her, and then Charlotte chases Carmella?
Yes.
Ooh. Not bad. Not bad. I could see that. I might have to go with that.
Because everybody's happy, right? Charlotte gets her win, adds another championship reign to her record, on the road to her very own 16. Her and Natalya get to have a great match. And then Carmella jumps in the mix and adds some intrigue to the women's division over on SmackDown.
All right. You know what? I'm going to go that way. I'll go with the full prediction. Charlotte gets the win in this match. You going Charlotte?
I'm going Charlotte, yeah.
New Day. The champions, Big E and Kofi Kingston, with Xavier Woods outside against the Usos. Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary. They will literally be in a cell. I love the Usos so much. I love their promos. I love everything about the Usos. Just day one-ish. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. They are killing it. Like,
I might have to wear a day one-ish shirt this weekend. I love them.
Did they release the snapbacks yet? The Usos snapback?
I don't know. You know what it looked like to me? I've thought about that. Let me look right now. It looked to me like they were wearing a hoodie this time. Are they selling the hoodie?
Yeah, they've been wearing hoodies. I don't think they're selling the hoodie either, though.
Let's check. I'm looking right now at my new iPad here, SGG. I'm going to go through and look for this right now. But make your prediction for this match while I look to see much more important information, which is how much New Day merch is currently available.
Oh my God, New Day must have 4,000 pieces of merch. But my prediction for the match is also the New Day. As much as I love the Usos, I feel like a win by the Usos, even though they build this as their last encounter ever, a win by the Usos just opens up the door for another match, and a win by the New Day closes that chapter. And there's really no shame in losing to the New Day after this series of matches that they've been having. So I'm going to go New Day.
For the record, more importantly, there are seven items. One's a commemorative plaque. One is the Uso Crazy bandana, which is no longer relevant. Then there's those Nerds cartoon shirts they have of the Usos. Then they have the women's Day One-ish shirt. They have the Usos Downson's Day One men's shirt. They have the It's Not Paranoia, It's the Usos shirt. And then they have the Usos Down Since Day One-ish lightweight jersey hoodie.
What?
I need that. That's what I think they wear. They wear that to the ring. I think they cut off the sleeves and wear that to the ring.
I'm gonna need that snapback, though. I need the snapback to make an appearance on the shop.
Yeah, I don't know why the snapback is not there yet. This is very, very complicated.
That one would be a no-brainer, you would think, but
I don't know, man. I think I'm going Usos. I think that, again, it's the same. They go back and forth. So, hey, there's really, let's be honest, there's truly no rhyme or reason right now to anything at this point with this rivalry. Like, I don't see how you would have any idea where it goes based on how much has happened. But I will say I believe the Usos get it back just because I think they will continue to be rewarded for being as good as they are. And that takes nothing away from how great the New Day have been, because they've really been rejuvenated and great too. But I'm going to go ahead and go with Uso. By the way, I'm looking at Alexa Bliss has a good amount of merch. There's a 5 Feet of Fury t-shirt. The Little Miss Bliss Americana shirt. The Twisted Bliss hoodie, which looks very comfortable. SGG, for Halloween this year, will you get the Alexa Bliss t-shirt and gloves? I would like to see you as Alexa Bliss for Halloween this year. We do have to do a podcast dressed up as in full character, I believe. Or do you have to do Roman Reigns?
I'm not buying that vest, so I'm not locked into Roman Reigns at all.
If I get you the vest, will you wear it?
If you get me the vest, I'll wear it. I don't advise you to buy it either, though.
If I get you the t-shirt and the vest, you dressed up as Roman Reigns would be pretty amazing.
I'll do it again. I don't advise anyone, as much as I love him. That vest is ridiculous. Is a ridiculous item
to buy.
Well,
let's see what sizes it comes in, Gray. That's a major issue we have here. This is a major concern. I don't see a size for the vest. Oh, is it one size fits all because you can adjust the straps?
It might be. I mean, I guess it comes in kids and adult, and then that's the most they're going to do with it.
And it comes with the it comes with the gloves too, so you can really, Greg. I think this is
It comes with the gloves. I don't have to find my own. Fingerless.
Nope. Do we think when John Cena comes back, he will have a new outfit? Isn't it time? No. It's so overdue, though.
Yeah, exactly. Which is exactly why it's not happening. Because think about it, like, even as people age and get older, eventually they settle into like an era of fashion and get stuck there. And so John Cena's done that.
So wait, it's just the orange shirt and the blue shirt? Those are it?
I mean, he might have a new shirt, but it's going to be the John Cena shirt with the John Cena hat.
No, but and armbands to match. But he's been in the very same blue and orange combo forever. I challenge you last one.
He's going to change it. The last one was a red, white, and blue, wasn't it? Like a red, white, and blue.
Yeah, maybe.
It was a red shirt with the white and blue logo, maybe. I'm not sure.
It's been a long time. Yo, he's got a lot of merch. Cena's still got a good amount of items in here. By the way, Greg, I'm looking right now. If there's anyone else you're curious about the amount of merch, I'm happy to help you with this. Anything? Anything?
Bobby, what does Bobby Roode have?
That's a very good question. Let's see. Bobby Roode. Let's take a gander. Bobby. All right. Well, he has more than Bobby Lashley. He's got the only main roster shirt he has is the Glorious Has Arrived shirt. However, his shirt at NXT, his last NXT shirt with the light shining on him and on the back says, I am glorious, is fantastic.
Yeah.
Then he's got the Rob Schamberger shirt. And then he's got another sort of glorious one. There's a handful of Bobby Roode shirts.
Okay, that's not bad. That's not bad.
Very. I'm gonna do some real work this weekend. I'm gonna dig in and see what merch is popular in Detroit. Oh, there's a new Sasha Banks, Rob Schamberger. It's time for me to update. Get rid of my old one. Maybe you should get a legit Boss Town shirt, Greg, and you can have. You can wear your Yankees hat autographed by Sasha Banks with her Boston Red Sox themed. So, did you
legit
see
Boss Town shirt is not happening. I don't even know why they made that. That's disrespectful.
You're disgusted by it, I know.
Did you
see that Natty threw out the first pitch at a Red Sox game?
I did. I oh my God, it was ridiculous. And then they gave her like a, I know it's customary for them to get like a the jersey.
So, but
like,
you were
she
just,
looked so
you,
happy you, in it.
You were sickened as a Yankees fan. However,
yeah, as a person though, like, what do you mean as a Yankees fan? Like,
I'm sorry. However,
let's
be clear. I mean, she's Canadian. She's from Calgary. They don't have a Major League Baseball team, so obviously she doesn't care. She's the champion. She goes and throws.
They got
the first
Blue Jays
pitch.
Though. She can drive a little bit.
I mean, it's
drive
the
east a little bit.
Well, that's quite a drive. But for the record, can you imagine how tight Sasha Banks was about Natty throwing out the first pitch at a Red Sox game? Like, I mean, she commented in Natty's picture. She was like, "I'm seething with jealousy." But
I didn't see that.
I got to tell you, I relate so much to Sasha. That would have crushed me. They have merch for her that is the Red Sox writing. She's from Boston.
Yeah, but Natty gets to show up with the championship.
And that's facts. I'm sure Sasha will get her chance one day, but damn, that would have stung. I would have been complaining. There would have been phone calls. There would have been episodes of Bring It to the Table done just talking about how bad a guy I was because of how much I was complaining. All right, SGG, we got to get to the meat. Pause. Whoa. And Greg, don't get excited. I don't mean we're going to actually eat meat right now. We got to talk about Shane O'Mac and Kevin Owens. Stipulation added, SGG. This will now be Falls Count Anywhere. And as we sit here today on the 20th anniversary of Hell in a Cell, do we need Falls Count Anywhere? Has it ever been needed before? No.
Right, it has not.
Like, and hasn't the ref gone on top and pinned people on top before?
I don't think so. I think the fall has always happened in the ring. But that's the thing that makes no sense, though. It's like, if it's a Falls Count Anywhere, then why do you need the cell? Then it, like, that takes away.
It completely changes, like, from a story standpoint. Obviously, it doesn't really matter. But, like, I was just watching Taker versus HBK, which, by the way, I encourage you guys to go back in your house from October 5th, 1997, and enjoy the first ever Hell in a Cell. But it's actually way – I didn't realize how good it was. It was much better than I remembered. But you know, so much of the time they spend talking about it is how they're locked in this structure together. Like that's supposed to be what they when they're explaining how this is not a steel cage match. This is Hell in a Cell. You're trapped in a cell together versus this version of it, which is like, no, it's a given they're going to leave the cell. It's odd.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing that like is so weird about it, because it's like, okay, so you're guaranteed to escape, because not everybody escapes the cell. Some of them have stayed in the ring and not the ring, but the structure, and ended without ever breaking out. So it's like, okay, falls count anywhere. So do you mean like the little ring area outside of the cell, or do you mean like, are you going to go throughout the building? Are you going to catch a beat down before you make it to the cell and then end in the cell? What the hell is supposed to happen?
I assume the setup here is for them to do something well removed from the cell, because they sold it. They pre-sold it on Raw this week on SmackDown, when they ended up going out and fighting in the concourse. So obviously, at some point, this match is going to go elsewhere. It's not just going to be the cell. It's going to be, there'll probably be a big cell spot, and then I'm guessing there's going to be a big concourse backstage parking lot spot as well. And in fact, I'm guessing it ends somewhere random.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a huge deal. I just found it kind of counterintuitive to what the cell is supposed to be.
Same, and I don't think they need it, but whatever.
Yeah, obviously something we'll probably get something very cool out of it, because I can't see them adding the stipulation unless there was like a cool idea that came up. And it's like, let's do this. Okay, how do we justify that? I'll tell you what though, guys. I hope Shane McMahon wins. Shane McMahon needs a meaningful win. Should they want to keep using him in big moments like this? We've got the big moment. He is over. The crowd loves Shane. They hate KO right now. It's great. This is what you're supposed to have. The story has everything. This is a blood feud that includes Vince McMahon being savagely beaten. Everything is there, and they skipped right to a blow-off match, Hell in a Cell. You have to imagine this is it. I believe Shane McMahon should avenge Vince's beatdown and win.
Well, it's funny you should say that Shane McMahon needs a win, because he has not won a one-on-one match since 2006. And also, this is Kevin Owens. How is Shane going to pull this off against Kevin Owens? What are you talking about, Pete? This
well,
is old man Shane. This is not the Shane that we remember running around with Steve Blackman and Kurt Angle and the Mean Street Posse. This is like Shane the Family Man.
It's been 11 years since he's won a singles match. I might have to pull that out on the kickoff show. That's a damning statistic. We love Shane O'Mac, but he just jumps off a cage, lands on the ground, and gets pinned.
Basically.
Listen, this is not your normal Shane O'Mac. This is a wounded animal. He's hurt emotionally, physically. It's the McMahon family name, the crown jewels, the son. The grapefruits from the loin, from Vince McMahon's loins.
Yeah, but Vince McMahon and his loins caught those KO hands too. So I mean, it's just
going
to be
KO.
Another beatdown. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Well, guess what? I'm going Shane O'Mac. I think they will give Shane this one. I think Shane has to avenge. I think KO doesn't need it. KO has the heat regardless. Everyone's always interested in KO. KO seems to keep managing to be awesome and over regardless of his win-loss situation. So
he doesn't need it, but the question is, how do we make it realistic that Shane – like, how does Shane get him down for the three count? Because KO is expecting him to jump off of something, and he's not going to lay there and let it happen.
Yeah, remember how Kevin Owens said, you're not going to jump off the kit cell, I'm going to throw you off?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. That's why I'm interested. That's why I'm very fascinated by this match. It's what I'm. Is it what you're most excited for? This is the match I'm most excited for.
Yeah, I mean, same. I mean, the two cell matches, which is exactly what the purpose of the show is.
I'm interested for two totally different reasons. Because the Usos in New Day, I know what I'm going to get. Like, not everything, but I just know it's going to be an awesome. I know it's going to be an awesome match. Perfectly timed, great story, awesome match. I don't know what we're going to get out of Shane and KO. By the way, what goes last, the championship match or Shane KO?
Shane and KO.
Has to be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope they don't mess around and pretend that that's not the main event. When it utterly
is
the main event. It's Hell in a Cell.
And the name of the pay-per-view is Hell in a Cell. So,
well, yeah, well said. Or Hell in at the Cell.
Yeah, Hell in a Cell, whatever. At these gimmick pay-per-views, though, the gimmick match should supersede the championship. Unless the championship is in a gimmick match, and then that definitely goes on last. But
now, SGG, before we get to what everyone's been waiting for, and that is the Black Power rankings for this week, should also mention that Shayna Baszler assigned her deal with WWE.
Finally.
So I read an article yesterday that said the path has been cleared for Ronda Rousey to make her way to WWE. I'm more excited to see what Baszler has than I am to see Ronda in WWE. I mean, don't get me wrong. It'll happen at some point, and it should, and it could make a lot of money, and I'm all for that. But if that's to happen, and there are rumors that Ronda is training, if that is to happen, I hope she really commits to it and makes it dope. Like, it shouldn't be like a regular
celebrity exactly.
It yeah, should be like a that, real. It she should be going Steve Blackman style. You know what I'm saying?
I want to. Yeah, see she should be going, doing what her homie Shayna Baszler is doing. Like, we see her putting in the work, and then even if it's a thing where like she's shown training in the build to a big match, it shouldn't feel like she just walked off the street and then came in and beat on. One of these women, because it's going to be a former women's champion that goes up against her, whether it's Charlotte or Sasha or whoever. You're not just going to throw Emma at Ronda Rousey. They're going to make it meaningful. And she should be seen having to earn that victory, because they're going to feed one of the women to Ronda.
She if she's going to do it, she's got to go straight up mid-90s UFC WWE convert status.
Yep.
So that's something that should be mentioned. SGG, it's time for everyone's favorite song and everyone's favorite segment, the Black Power.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black. I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm black. Yo, I'm black and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.
How is it looking in this big week of Black Power rankings, SGG?
So, in at number three, we have the boss, Sasha Banks. Strong showing in that tag team match she had with Bayley on Monday. I mean, the story seemed to be Emma walking out on her tag team partner, but again, the boss picked up the win. And like I said, she looked good in that outing, so she's coming in at number three. And in at number two, we got the Velveteen Dream from NXT. And this guy is a weird character, but I'm not gonna lie. I'm intrigued by this character. When he debuted a few months ago, I wasn't really feeling the knockoff Prince gimmick, but now I'm intrigued by this Aleister Black, Velveteen Dream feud that he got going. And not only that, his elbow drop is beautiful. Let's just say it. It's an amazing elbow drop.
Savage AJ.
And Savage AJ. So it's enough to bring him in at number two. And
real quick, do you think when I was watching that Hell in a Cell match from 20 years ago, Shawn hits an elbow off the top rope in the cage? And Vince, remember, it's 1997, so Macho Man's been gone for a few years. And Vince says, after Shawn does it, Vince says, oh, you know, that maneuver, the best to ever do that Do you think that's is that not blatantly a shot at Savage?
Oh, 100%. But also, I mean, got to give the devil his due. Sean throws a mean elbow too.
No, he's right there. Sean's right there, but Macho's, I mean, it's not better.
No, it's not.
Not better.
No. And Savage had like precision with that elbow though. Like he would hit an elbow on anything from anywhere. Like no matter how small his target was, he was going to drop the elbow and nail the target. And it was going to look beautiful.
And Sean got really good at it as time went on. But Savage, man, the way he laid horizontally in the air, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
But anyways, I just thought that was funny. I thought it was funny that Vince specifically said that. I was like, that was interesting.
Well, you know what that was about.
All right, sorry. The Black Power rankings, continue.
And in at number one, the New Day. That they didn't have a physical bout this week, but that war of words they had with the Usos really hyped me up for this match, and I think they're gonna deliver. I have no doubts. So just based on the anticipation.
I thought both the New Day and the Usos delivered on the mic this week. I really liked
it. Yeah. 100%. And I'm just ready for that match.
Where are the Usos in the Black Power rankings, my G?
What, yo, when the Samoan Power rankings come out, the Usos can be a solid number two to the guy.
Wow, unbelievable. You're letting them separate us like this. This is wrong, what you're saying. This is wrong.
Do Samoans identify as black? I don't think they do.
I don't know. Listen, I can't speak to their racial identity, but I'm saying you could certainly make a case for them being in the Black Power rankings.
There's one Samoan Absolutely. That I can definitely make the case for being in the Black Power rankings, and that is the big homie, the Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Well, and the future children of Naomi.
Yes, 100%. But the other ones, though, like you said, I don't know what their racial identity is, so I don't know.
That'll do it for the Black Power rankings this week, and we will be back next week with another major episode. We'll break down what happened at Hell in a Cell. If you're in Detroit, holler at me. Say what's up if you see me. And SGG, get yourself a good chicken cheesesteak this weekend. Maybe take off the bun. We don't want to see you actually become Big Daddy G. And enjoy the pay-per-view. And happy anniversary to Cheap Heat. And also, SGG, remember to stay mage.
Oh, yeah.